Previously, down Gilead Lane.
How's Mr. Key?
Things get a little darker, a little harder to remember.
He's still Mr. Key.
All your life, you've been striving against God.
I'm happy with being in the hospital, but at least he's being taken care of.
Jeremiah, you've got a deep wound you're carrying inside you. Someday it's going to kill you.
It already has.
So, this is how it ends. A little glory, a little heartache, and then I coast to the finish in a little hospital room, alone with my thoughts, scribbling in this journal. My daydreams drift from scene to scene, some from the past, some from the present. Lately, strangely, the dreams from my past have been more prevalent, more real than ever. It could very well be my condition. Some days are better, like today. But there are days when I have trouble remembering my own name. I'm a prisoner of my own wandering mind, a mind that is fading all too quickly. Who is it?
It's me, Kim.
Oh. Hold on. You can come in now. Hello, Tim.
Hey, are you all right? Looks like you've been crying.
Oh, I'm all right. Just, and... eye condition I have, that's all.
Are they treating you okay here?
The people here are nice enough.
But
I don't belong here. I hate the smell of hospitals. These bright fluorescent lights, the sounds of people up and down the hall in the middle of the night. I feel so far from home. That's where I belong, Tim. I so want to go home.
Well, why can't you?
The doctor says I would need nursing care at home because of my condition, and I can't afford it.
I hope something will work out. We need to go fishing again.
We sure do.
Some kind of adventure you had.
John, I gotta tell you, Peru, it changed me. Had a big impact on Maya, too.
Oh, I can tell that. Listen, Tom, you're sure Monica's all right with you visiting over here?
Look, no election is going to stop me from visiting my friend. Right. Even if he is my wife's opponent.
All right, then, if you say so. Oh, yeah, who is it?
It's me.
Oh, you can come on in.
Oh, hi, Mr. Richter.
Hello, Tim.
Yeah, what's up, son?
It's Mr. Key. I'm worried about him.
Well, I'm sure he's getting the best care possible, Tim.
Dad, he hates the hospital. He told me he wants more than anything to come home.
Sure.
But he'd have to hire a nurse to take care of him, and he can't afford it.
I've been thinking of a way to help Mr. Key for quite a while, but there's been this wall between him and me. I've been trying to talk to him, but, well, maybe.
What are you thinking?
I think it's time to pay Mr. Key a visit.
I don't want your charity. I don't accept gifts from riffraff like you.
I take that as a no.
Goodbye now.
Mr. Key, I want to make amends after all these years. It's... time.
I have things to do, if you wouldn't mind.
All right, then.
I'm trying to make sense of all these images in my head. I'm becoming aware that I can no longer afford interruptions. There's only a short time left.
I don't want to think about it.
Are you okay?
I wanted so much to be strong for you.
That's the biggest, hugest fish I've ever seen!
When I come back, I've got a little surprise for you.
Something happened to me this morning.
But can't you forgive Mr. Richter for whatever happened?
He's a Richter. He doesn't deserve forgiveness.
But Mr. Key...
Where's Gracie?
I'm sorry, what?
Gracie, the little girl down the street, you know.
She's grown up. Her name's Grace, and she was just...
Well, you tell Gracie that I love her, won't you?
Mr. Key, that was Grace that just came by to visit you.
Oh.
Mr. Key... Remember when I tried to talk with you about Jesus?
Could you please shut those blinds? It's too bright outside.
Sure, but I...
Sure, but you want to tell me about becoming a Christian, am I right?
Well, yes.
I'm sorry, but I'm sick and tired of all this badgering I've been getting about forgiveness and becoming a Christian.
I don't want to badger you. Why are you so mad about it?
Because you have no idea, Timmy. No idea.
Well... Mr. Key?
Yes?
I have some good news.
Well, I'm ready for some good news.
Someone who wanted to remain anonymous made it possible for you to receive nursing care at your house. Mr. Key, you're going home.
What? Going home? Well... Home is a place of comfort to me. But the images, they're starting to come more and more often now. I keep wondering, are these just the swirling memories of a demented old man? Or do they mean something?
I worried about you every day.
I saw them cut down right there in front of me.
More kamikazes on the way!
Jack! Hey, pal! Say something! Will you, Jack? Come on, buddy! Jack!
Oh. Come in.
Hi, Mr. Key.
Hello, Timmy.
I brought a friend with me.
Oh, really? Well, tell him to come on in.
Hello, Mr. Key.
What? You scoundrel! What are you doing in my home? Get out!
Mr. Key, I came to make things right.
You can never make things right. Get out of here!
Mr. Key, don't you realize he's the one...
Tim, it's all right.
Don't you realize, Timmy, what a horrible man this is? You shouldn't even be associated with people like this.
Listen, Mr. Key...
I don't care what you say, Richter. I'll never work for you again. Do you hear me?
Never work for... Mr. Key... That was my father that you worked for.
Don't confuse the issue. You blackmailed me, Richter. I'll never forget what you did to me and to Gracie.
Mr. Key.
Timmy, it's time you knew what happened. There's nothing for me to lose now. You know about the accident. It happened right out there on my front lawn.
Yes.
So you know that's when Gracie lost her parents, when she lost her sight as well. It was the awfulest thing. But here's what you don't know. Tom Jr. was driving drunk that night. Gracie's parents tried to avoid his car and struck that tree out there.
Mr. Key...
Richter threatened me that I'd better keep quiet about his son. He said if I ever said a word, not only would he fire me, he'd make sure I'd never work in Coleraine again. But here's the worst part. He paid for Gracie to go to that special school for the blind in New York, the best school in the nation for helping blind children. He was the only one around here who could afford it. Richter told me if I ever let out so much as a peep, he would yank Gracie right out of that school. And so, for Gracie's sake, I listened to Richter. I kept it quiet all these years.
Mr. Key, if there's any way, please... Please forgive me. Forgive my dad.
Tom? Tom Jr.?
Yes.
You You look just like your father.
Is there any way that you could forgive us for what happened?
Don't think for a minute you can fool me, Richter. You're pulling some religious stunt to ease your conscience for what your family did, so you can sweep everything under the rug again. Never! You Richters, all of you, are a bunch of no-good reprobates. Think you own the town so you can throw your weight around. But let me tell you something. You don't own me anymore. Got it? And what's more, I own this house! And you are trespassing. So get out! Now!
Dad, I felt really bad for Mr. Richter.
Oh, I'm fine, Tim. But...
What is it, Tom?
I don't know. I'm hoping against hope that Mr. Key can somehow forgive. Although that looks pretty impossible at this point. But it's more than that. I want him to find Jesus the way I did.
Me too! I've been trying to tell him, but he keeps changing the subject.
He seems pretty closed off to it. He's a wonderful man. But I've noticed whenever I talk about Jesus, he closes up.
That's just it. I keep getting this feeling that there's something deeper than we know.
Mr. Key?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever... Well, do you ever think about... You know, God and stuff?
Something happened to me this morning. It's hard to describe.
Too many of those chocolates?
I was at the Easter service this morning.
Yeah?
The chaplain was talking about how Jesus loved us so much he died for us. So I had a talk with Jesus. I've never done that before. I asked him to come into my heart. It was amazing. I felt like I was washed from the inside out. Everything I felt guilty about, everything I was ashamed of, it's all gone. Jesus is real. Jeremiah, he's part of me now.
Oh, just great. My best friend's gone religious on me.
Don't knock it till you've tried it, pal.
You have no idea.
What do you mean?
I don't want to talk about it.
Didn't you tell me one time your
dad... I said, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Jeremiah?
Don't push me, pal. Got it?
Yeah. You got it.
Something happened to me while you were at work.
Oh?
I was on the sofa, thinking about the baby. Tears coming down my cheeks. I wanted so much to have a little one.
I know.
I sat there and cried out to God. Jeremiah, I know this is hard for you to hear, but... God answered me.
He did.
I was suddenly overwhelmed by this sense. This strong sense of love and strength and peace. I got out the old family Bible and started reading a passage.
Hold on here. What are you saying?
Jesus is with me now, and he always will be.
Elsie, when people go through trauma, they sometimes have a religious experience.
This wasn't just a religious experience. It was real. Very real. You don't understand.
No, I don't think you understand. You're my wife. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you found comfort. But I also feel betrayed.
Betrayed? Jeremiah, you've got a deep wound you're carrying inside you. And if you don't deal with it, someday it's going to kill you.
It already has.
It's awful. That poor little girl left all alone. What kind of a God could let this happen?
He gives us all free will, Jeremiah, and...
I don't need a lesson in theology, thank you. God did the same thing to me when I was a kid. So you're questioning God, too?
No, I'm not. I don't understand him sometimes, but I know I need him. It's the only way I get through times like this. Jeremiah?
Uh-huh.
You need him too.
All your life, you've been striving against God. It's time you find your rest in Him.
As I put my thoughts in this journal, I can see something beginning to emerge now.
Something happened to me.
Something happened to me.
I had a talk with Jesus.
God answered me.
Jesus is real.
Jesus is with me now.
These aren't just the random memories of a man losing his mind.
You need him too.
I'd like to talk to you about someone.
Who?
It's Jesus.
Each piece is connected. God. God is talking to me.
Mr. Key? Mr. Key?
Huh? What? Richter, what are you doing here? Get out of my house.
I'll leave. I just came to check up on you.
If you don't get out of my house right this instant, I...
Mr. Key! Here, let me help you get back to your chair. Take my hand here.
No.
Okay. You tell me if I go too fast. Here we go. Come on. And we'll walk slowly over to your chair now. And here we go. Okay. I'll call the nurse a minute, okay?
No need. I just stood up too quickly and got a little dizzy, that's all.
Are you...
I'm all right.
Here, your blanket fell off. Let's make sure we got you all covered. There.
You can go home now.
I will. As long as you say you're all right.
I'm just fine. The nurse is supposed to be here in about half an hour.
I was wondering before I go if I could ask you a question.
What kind of question?
Mr. Key, what are you afraid of?
Now, what is that supposed to mean?
I've been concerned about you. I started asking questions around town. Well, your dad was a minister, is that right?
That's none of your business. Go!
Why did you turn your back on God?
I've got a better question. Why did God turn his back on me?
What? I don't understand.
Yes, my father was a pastor, a great pastor, and a great dad.
Wish I could say the same about my father.
You didn't get along?
No. It was strained at best. Can you tell me more about your dad?
Everyone loved him. Everyone. With his leadership, our church grew and grew. It was phenomenal. He was an innovator, too, a forward thinker. My dad was the first pastor in the whole state to do church services on the radio.
Wow.
He was full of life and full of wisdom. I was proud of him. As the church grew, he got more and more busy, but he always found a slice of time for me. We'd go on long hikes, camping out, that sort of thing. But one year, everything changed. His best friend died, a heart attack or something. It shook my dad quite a bit. His friend's wife was grieving, and my dad wanted to help. He counseled her. But then, over time, he fell for her. And one night, a night I'll never forget, he said goodbye to us kids, my brother and me. He hugged us, he kissed us, and he walked out the door. And I never saw my dad again. Not until many years later. I was only a 10-year-old boy at the time. That night, my whole world blew apart. My dad left me, and my God left me.
But God promises he'll never leave us.
I know a lot more Bible than you, Richter.
Yeah, probably so. But I know this. It wasn't God who abandoned you. He was there, waiting for you to reach out to him. But you turned away.
You don't know what it was like. Oh, the church people were nice at first. But they soon got a new pastor. And the meals and the cards and the calls faded away. All that was left was the shame and Dad's empty chair at the dinner table. I still loved him, even through this. But he never came back.
Oh, you said that you got to see your dad later on.
Yes, once. My brother James had been killed in battle, World War II. And my dad showed up at the funeral service. He had heard that I wanted to join the army too, even though the end of the war was near. He was adamant. He didn't want me to go. He got together with my mom. This was the one thing they could both agree on. And they pressed me not to go. I got into a big fight with my dad, and I went ahead and joined the service, more out of spite than anything. And I vowed that I would never see him again. I kept that vow. His woman left him. Dad became an alcoholic, drank himself into oblivion. He died, I think it was somewhere in New Jersey. I abandoned my dad, just like he abandoned me.
Mr. Key. Mr. Key, God's right here, right now. And he wants to heal that wound you've been carrying around all these years. Don't turn away this time.
I can see you are sincere. But this is too much for me now. I'm too old. It's been too long. It's an old wound that has never healed and never will.
Until...
Until what?
Until you forgive. Until you surrender to God. Mr. Key, it's never too late. Not until the day that you meet God face to face.
Do me a favor, will you?
What?
Make sure Tim gets this.
What do you have there?
My old family Bible. Elsie used to look through this all the time. Tim always seemed interested in old things, religious things. I just use it to stick my papers in. He'll appreciate it. Much more than I ever did. So, will you take this to him?
I'd like to suggest...
What?
Why don't you hold on to it? Just a little longer.
God, please help Mr. Key get better. And most of all, please help him accept you. We're all going over there in a few minutes to visit him. Maybe you can use us some way, somehow. I really miss our fishing trips together. Maybe after he gets saved, we can go fishing again. Well, gotta get ready to go.
Tim.
Yeah? Dad?
Tim, I got a call from Mr. Key's nurse. Mr. Key just passed away.
Wait, that can't be right. I mean, Mr. Key still hasn't asked Jesus into his heart. He can't die yet. What do you think? This has to be a mistake, right? Well, I guess we'll just have to come back next week to find out for sure. But that does get me thinking, what if after all of Timmy's witnessing, Mr. Key really didn't get saved? It will sure be tempting for Timmy to think that God is not good and that he can't be trusted. Have you ever had circumstances in your life that made it hard for you to trust God's goodness? Why not write and tell us about it? You can email us at gilead@cbhministries.org. And if you'd like to know more about giving your life to God and trusting Him, be sure to talk to your parents, pastor, or Sunday school teacher about it. Or you can always call the good people at 1-888-NEED-HIM. Just make sure you get your parents' permission first. Today's episode, God Had a Plan, Part 1, is a production of CBH Ministries, a listener-supported ministry. It was written by John Fornoff and directed by Steve O'Dell. Roy Wallace was the recording engineer, with production assistance by Elizabeth Bowman and music by Steve Wick. Terry Ritchie is the executive producer, and I'm Zach saying, see you right back here next week, down Gilead Lane.